This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
KYW News Radio and Deborah Heart and Lung Center team up to discuss arrhythmia, diagnosis, treatment, and management. Here's Rasa Kay.
Cardiac electrophysiologist Dr. Rafael Corbizero says you might want to get frequent heart palpitations checked out, but don't freak out right away.
Everybody has skipped beats, whether it's the top or the bottom part of the heart. No one is regular 24/7. What they mean prognostically depends on the patient. A young, healthy patient with a normal heart has some skip beats, premature ventricular contractions that they feel. Significance, very little. Bothersome, we may try to help them out. A different patient that has had open heart surgery, has had heart attacks, their scar, those skip beats may carry a very different significance. They might be at risk for worse problems, then we have to evaluate that.
Learn more at DeboraHealthReport.com.
New Jersey's only heart, lung, and vascular specialty hospital, Debora Heart and Lung Center. When it's your heart, demand Debora.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
It is Dukes and Bell, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We've been talking a lot about the tournament today, and there is nobody better to talk about it than Josh Pastner, former Georgia Tech coach, former Memphis coach, and of course now he's on ESPN. He's crushing it. He's doing an amazing job on the basketball shows there. And Coach, I was watching you over the weekend, and you guys are breaking all this stuff down, and we appreciate you jumping on with us here on the show. And I was like, man, you know, there's so much to the tournament. And I just want to talk about, you know, how excited you were when you guys got in just a few years ago. And you've been in the tournament many, many times. But it's such a moment for all of these programs, but certainly the programs that want to make a statement. Right, Coach?
Yeah, well, first of all, thanks for having me. And this is a great time of the year. And let me just say this. It is so hard to get to the NCAA tournament. It's so hard to win a possession in the tournament. It's so hard to win a game. So, you know, it's an amazing accomplishment, and you never take it for granted because it's just so hard to do. Look, I remember when I was part of the team in 1997, the Arizona Wildcats, that won the national championship. And, you know, that was my freshman year, and you're thinking you're going to do it every single year. Mm. And every year that goes by, you realize how almost impossible it was to do that and how fortunate and you are to be able to have that opportunity and cherish it. So look, this is just going to be a great tournament. You're in preparation mode right now for all the teams in it. And look, tomorrow starts the first four, and you know, Thursday, Friday, the first rounds, and you know, you lose a game, your season's abruptly ended. But by Sunday, we'll be focused. Sunday night by midnight or 11 p.m., we'll be focused on 16 remaining teams, and that's how quickly this thing goes. You play that entire season for this opportunity. When you watch all games throughout the season, it never says the road to the conference championship. It's all about the road to the Final Four. This is the playoffs. This is what it's about. And it's one of the most exciting times of any sport, you know, globally.
And Lute Olson was such a rootable guy for people that grew up on, like me, on the East Coast. He just seemed like such a likable guy and certainly a great guy to play for, Josh. The thing is, Josh, I don't know how Jason Terry and Mike Bibby got any playing time with you holding the rock.
Well, the reason we won the national championship was because I didn't get any playing time, and they were the ones who got the playing time. So, Coach Olson, as you said, the absolute best, just an incredible human being. God rest his soul. Incredible coach. One of the greatest to ever do it. I mean, I don't know if people fully realize the greatness of what Coach Olson, of what type of coach he was, both evaluating player development, his system and his style, and won a whole heck of a lot of games, and that's why he's also in the Basketball Hall of Fame.
Studio analyst for ESPN College Basketball, NBC Sports. He's done stuff for Peacock Network and CBS as well. Josh Pastner joining us. All right, let's talk about the SEC. I've been saying this all day. Best basketball conference this year across the country. How does that prepare these teams as they enter the tournament? Because we're looking at some of the other competition that some of these SEC teams are going to play, Josh, and it's like, I think the preparation of the season has allowed these teams to be ready for this moment.
Yes, I would agree with that. Look, they got 14 of the 16 teams in the tournament, which is just unheard of. It's an incredible league. And, you know, the league, obviously it passes the eye test with the numbers, with the level of play, the talent level. But it also passes the numbers test because of what happens in November and what they did in the non-conference part of schedule. That's how you get those numbers. Like when you hear, when people hear about quad one or quad two or net rankings, those numbers are all baked in from what happens in those games in November and early December. And the SEC, nobody did it better than the SEC. I mean, they were just incredible. They just took care of business. And that's why they are in the position they are in to have 14 of their 16 teams in. And I do think, what I would tell you is I would think that if they don't have two teams in the Final Four, obviously multiple in the second weekend, I would be surprised if they don't have two teams in the Final Four. I think for their hype that they've had this year, and it's been earned and deservedly so, they need to have multiple teams in the Final Four. I think they'll get at least two. And, yes, I think they'll be as battle-tested as anybody because of the level of competition that they've played night in, night out. Now, look, it's the NCAA tournament. It's on a neutral floor. It's a 40-minute game. You know, anything can happen because if you have an off night shooting, I mean, we all know the deal. You're the higher seed. You have an off night shooting. The crowd starts rooting against you. I mean, there's things out of control. It's not a 7-game series. But look, things are also different now. I mean, players are getting paid. I mean, players are, you know, so you can't, you know, guys are expected to produce, especially ones who have had the opportunity to get paid to perform at a high level, and guys are going to be expected to produce, especially this time of the year, and so it's going to even make it that much more pressurized of a situation. And so, you know, it's going to be interesting. It's going to be a great tournament. It's going to be an outstanding tournament. It's, and as I mentioned at the beginning, just best time of the year. But I do think it's very top heavy. I would be surprised. Mm-hmm. That when the Final Four in San Antonio, like I said, I think two teams from the SEC is going to get in to the San Antonio. But I think out of the top eight seeds, the 1 and 2 seeds of all the four different regions, you're going to see four of those eight make the Final Four. I don't think you're going to see any like 3 seeds, 4 seeds, 5 seeds and below. I just think it's a top heavy deal this year, and you're going to see four of those eight teams going to be in that Final Four in San Antonio.
It is Josh Pastner with us, guys, former Memphis, Georgia Tech coach with us on the WaitForIt.com hotline. That's the thing, Josh. I mean, the average age of Bruce Pearl's team is actually like older than the Oklahoma City Thunder. You know, I mean, I watch the St. John's documentary on Rick Pitino every week, and he's got guys like on their third team. So in the old days, like you'd have the one and dones would get beat by the mid-majors with guys who stuck around for 3 or 4 years. And now it just seems like, to your point, all the really elite teams have got like all-star teams.
Well, it's changed. I mean, so the NIL or pay to play, whatever you want to call it, you know, you can say what you want about the negativity part of it or the challenges with it, should I say? But the positives are it's allowed the level playing field all across the country, where some certain players wouldn't go to some certain schools in the past, but now they're going to wherever. I mean, prime example is A.J. DeBanson, the number one ranked player in the country, is going to BYU next year. He's really good. He's going to BYU because they could pay him what he wanted, and that's the reality of it. And so, and yes, it's also hurt high school recruiting. I mean, Rick Pitino, you talked about that Vice show with Rick Pitino. Right. He's talked about he doesn't want to recruit high school kids. He doesn't care if it's an All-American. He doesn't want to recruit high school kids. Right. You look at Rutgers, they got the number 2 and 3 pick in Ace Bailey and Dylan Harper probably, or reverse it. Maybe Dylan's two aces, three. I don't know, but their season's over, and it's so because they're obviously pros, but they are they were young. They're the young team, and so you win with older guys. It's kind of get old, stay old, but instead of building that, you just get it in the portal every year. The other thing is the other thing is I do think, like, for example, Chad Baker Mazzara, who is 25 or 26, and now look, for Auburn, he plays for Auburn, and right. He needs to be better, by the way. He's a really good player and a high talented player, lots of talent, but you know, he did get thrown out of the game last year against Yale in the first round, and they got and they lost.
Yep.
In that final game against Alabama, got the flagrant two, got ejected, did not play good in their last loss, had like 9 points on 9 shots. He's got to play better. But he's an older guy. He should play better. He's 25, 26. But I've heard that Coach Pearl wants to try to get him another year of eligibility. My thing is they've got to stop this eligibility thing. The NC2A's got to stop it. They can't be having these guys play when they're 27, 28, 26.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
If you have a locked AT&T phone, we're here with Bolt Cutters. T-Mobile will help pay off your locked phone and give you a new 5G phone for free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrier freedom.
Via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax and a $10 device connection charge. Qualifying port and trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement as due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early.
Kickstart your new year with a rewarding career at the HK Group. HK is the leader in heavy construction and contractor site materials with over 80 locations across Pennsylvania, New Jersey, and Delaware. HK offers a wide range of opportunities, including heavy equipment operators, CDL drivers, mechanics, site supervisors, engineers, and project managers. 100% paid benefits designed to promote healthy living, financial stability, and career growth. The HK Group does not discriminate. Apply today at hkgroup.com. It's your future opportunity.
Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You should have 4 years, and that's it. You cannot be keep adding additional years. I understand the financial aspects of it, of wanting to stay in college, because a lot of guys might never have the chance to play NBA basketball and make as much money for playing hoops as they are right now in college. But there's got to be a cutoff stamp. There's got to be a cutoff point. They've got to not allow guys playing 6-7 years of college. You got 4 years. You know, maybe five if there's a redshirt year or whatever, and then there's got to be an age limit at some point. There's got to be an eligibility. I understand there's certain circumstances based on maybe there's military exemptions or religious exemptions or maybe another exemption somewhere, but just continuing to try to find ways to get another year, I just think there's got to be some point where guys got to be able to move on for college athletics to continue to stay healthy, because I don't think it's for for competitive balance. You know, a high school 18, 19-year-old playing against 26, 25-year-olds is what the model was initially supposed to be. We can change with the NIL. We can change with the portal. That's not going anywhere. And that's okay, that we got to all accept it and embrace it and be excited about it. But the eligibility part has got to have a stoppage at some point.
Right on. It's a great point, and I don't think it's made enough. Josh Pastner joining us, guys, former head basketball coach and now studio analyst for ESPN College Basketball and doing a lot of different work, talking about the NCAA tournament. How good is Florida, Josh? They're talented, they're deep, they're physical. The thing I love about them is they can win in different ways, which going into the tournament, that's how you have to be, right?
Look, this is what's great about being an analyst, okay? I think Florida's the best team in the country, and they're the absolute best right now. There's no one's playing better than them. I mean, they can just wear you out with great depth, guard play, front court play, how fast they play, their conditioning. But I think they've got the hardest two seed of all the two seeds they got to go against, and that's against St. John's. And I think St. John's is playing as well as anybody in the country. And because, as I mentioned about being an analyst, I'm picking St. John's to get out of that region. Why? I just said, what the heck, be something a little bit different.
Thank you.
You know, so here's the thing, though, with St. John's. But if you focus on that matchup, assuming they're both in the Elite Eight, which I think they will be, it's all about how the officials are going to call that game. When you watch that game, if they both get there, it's about how the officials officiate that game. St. John's fouls a lot. If you look at their defensive numbers, they are so good. And it's sort of like football. You know, you hear the thing, you can't call holding every single penalty. Holding probably every play. They're not going to call. St. John's, the physicality that St. John's plays defensively, they almost foul every possession, but you're not going to call it every time because they play with great physicality. And you look at their numbers defensively, they're elite. It's whether how they call that game against Florida. If they call it tight from the start and boom and start whistling right from the beginning, that is going to be a disadvantage for St. John's. If they allow them to play a little bit in those first two through those first two media timeouts, you got to look for St. John's to have an advantage over that over Florida because they can eventually just wear you down with what they do on the defensive end.
What about Tom Izzo? I mean, he's such a great coach. And I, it's easy for us to say, now, they're a two seed in the South. But I really like the way Michigan State's playing. And this is the kind of year where Izzo might just creep up and end up in a Final Four, you know? I mean, they got to go through Auburn, but I really like his team.
Yeah, well, they weren't picked to win the Big Ten regular season championship. They won the Big Ten regular season championship, a really good basketball league. They've, he called it strength in numbers. They're playing about 10 deep. They've got a really good freshman in Jace Richardson, Jason Richardson's son, who played at Michigan State for Tom Izzo and played in the NBA for a long time. They've got a good team, and I capitalize team, T-E-A-M. That's who they are. They're a very good basketball team. They get you in rebounding. They get you in the glass. On the backboards there, they get you in offensive transition, and they beat you up on the defensive end. They're very similar to St. John's. They're not a great three-point shooting team, just like St. John's. Not a great three-point shooting team, but they get you in other areas of winning areas, and they play and they kind of wear you down because they play 10 guys, and he calls it strength in numbers. So I like this Michigan State team. I don't think they're going to win at all. I would be surprised if they even got to the Final Four. I do not see them getting past Auburn or even Texas A&M if either one of those two continue to make it through. But they're playing as well as anybody. You can never count out Tom Izzo. I do think they obviously get to that second weekend. And then from there, whether it's the Sweet 16 or Elite Eight, but I just do not see them being good enough, in my personal opinion, to get to San Antonio.
And real quick, Josh, your take on Gonzaga and Georgia. Mike White, you guys had a year of overlap. You were still at Tech when he came into UGA. And, you know, this is where it's kind of like put up or shut up. You know, got to make a run. Can they handle Gonzaga, who you could argue, what would Gonzaga look like if they played an SEC schedule?
Yeah, well, look, Gonzaga's really good offensively. It's going to be, Mike White's team at Georgia's, they're big. They're good defensively. They get you on the backboards. But Gonzaga, if you look at their numbers offensively, they are at a very, very high level offensively. I mean, their shooting percentage, I mean, they are an efficient shooting team. Graham Ike is a load inside, so that's going to be a matchup, issue for, how they handle him. Ryan Nembhard, their point guard, is one of the either their first or second in the country in assists. They move the ball. They got great spacing. But as you guys, as we talked about at the top of the show, they haven't been battle tested like Georgia has in that league, and so. But that is my point: is you've got to now earn it. You know what I mean? It's, and I'm not just talking just on Georgia. It's everybody in the SEC because of the talk about that league. Deservedly so, they've earned it based on the numbers and having 14 teams in. Now you've got to go win these games in the tournament to kind of back it up, if that makes sense.
Right.
And that's a prime example. Like Georgia should beat Gonzaga. Gonzaga is very good, but based on the tested throughout the season, as you just mentioned, could Gonzaga have had the same record as Georgia this year going through the SEC? I don't think so. But again, it's a one game scenario on a neutral court. Who knows? But if you just do it strictly based on being tested, you've got to give the favor to Georgia.
Josh, great job. As always, man. Enjoying you on TV. How's Pops? How's everybody? Everybody's good?
Everyone's doing good. Thanks for asking. And all's good. And great upcoming. I'll be doing March Madness Live. So if you on the app, if you catch on Fast Break for this next sport on Thursday through Sunday with Turner, I'll be on that. So absolutely. I'll be in studio there. You can get the March Madness Live app, the NC2A app, and you know the March Madness app. Watch on your phone, computer, and you'll see me in studio.
Awesome. Great. We definitely will. Thanks again, Josh. We'll talk soon, buddy.
Okay. Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me.
Cool.
Josh Pastner talking NCAA hoops. His dad started Houston Hoops, Mike, which put out a lot of players, and that's how Josh got into the whole coaching thing, and we go way back. But he's a great dude. And interesting, look, I'm telling you, Georgia can win this game against Gonzaga. This is not like out of this realm of possibility. They have a really good possibility to take this game and do it fairly easy, Mike, if they handle their business. All right, we got to take a break. We're coming back. Lots more to get to. Stay right there. It's Dukes and Bell. Look, there's a lot going on with our Falcons still. Kentavious Street has been re-signed. That is just a little news note. Mm-hmm. They also triggered this weekend, for those of you who missed it, the $10 million roster bonus due in 2026 for Kirk Cousins. And we've discussed this and talked about it today. For those of you who are like, it doesn't make sense. Why do the Falcons pay this money?
Right.
Well, it gives them the leverage they need to maintain him on the roster and hopefully, again, gives them time to work on a trade. Meanwhile, Mike, today, the bigger story, ironically, because all of this stuff we told you guys was probably going to happen as far as Kirk Cousins is concerned. If you missed our great conversation at 5 o'clock, go back, rewind on the app, and check it out, because we'd love for you to check it out if you missed it. But the bigger story seems to be this post by Kyle Pitts.
Yeah, somebody sent it to me earlier today. I think his name is Ronald. Thank you, my brother. I do not get on the Instagram much, but on the gram, Kyle Pitts on his account said, year four had its ups and downs, but we prevailed. Year five, I'm coming 10 times harder than I ever did. Hashtag WeBall, with a photo of him kind of doing like the Superman Cam Newton thing coming out of the tunnel on a Mercedes-Benz.
Okay, so first of all, what did we prevail at?
Well, if the season ended after 9 weeks, we would have prevailed in the division. We would have been 6-3, and we'd have felt good. But unfortunately, there were 8 more weeks of football, so that's not so good. So, yeah, I mean, if somebody in his social media camp, and some guys have people to do this for him, I don't think he did the guy any favors, because pretty much universally everything I've seen about it is like, oh, so what does that mean? I was getting 90% less effort the last couple of years, or simply a contract year bold statement. Look, we've gone around till we're blue in the face about quarterback play, play calling. At some point, the man in the mirror does become responsible for where his career is at. You know, being the 22nd ranked tight end in a year where, you know, we see other tight ends on other teams. Teams that aren't even, you know, if we're honest, Carl, doing great things, but their tight ends are having more impact on their offense. Like Arizona. We've seen George Kittle even had a great year for San Francisco, and he still had a great impact for a team. A guy you know they're going to double team when you see Debo out.
Yeah, look, I need playmakers, Mike. I don't care what position they play. I mean, I know we get caught up in, all right, tight ends and comparisons. Give me playmakers, man. Give me guys that make a difference on Sundays. And for me, Kyle Pitts, and you guys know this if you've listened to the show over the last few years, I've been very hard on him because I think his talent is enormous, but I don't think that he's lived up to his potential for various reasons. But now you want to send this out and make me believe that you're going to go 10 times harder? Like, where's this been?
Right.
Like, why haven't we been going 10 times harder since you got here? Since coaches have been fired? Since you've got new offensive coordinators? Since you've got new quarterbacks? Like, why haven't you gone 10 times harder during that whole time? That's my issue with this. So, I hope he is sincere, and this is heartfelt, Mike, and I hope that that's the case. If he's going to be here on this team, we need him to ball out. I needed him last year. He didn't live up to it. But if he's going to be here, great. But I cannot get excited about this until you show me. Because last year I thought you were the key to this offense, and you did nothing.
You know, we have basically broken down every angle on Kyle Pitts. And some of this is, do you feel, look, you got first off, out of Florida, he's only 20, right, when he got drafted. God-given talent.
Young.
The freakish thing that he's going to be, you know, this elite. Again, we thought we're getting a Tony Gonzalez-type receiver. And, you know, if Arthur Smith leaned on our general manager to get him, okay, maybe the general manager should have freaking pushed back. Says, sorry, Arthur, we don't take a tight end fourth overall. I'll take the safe bet. I'll take Penei Sewell. We'll have Bedrock on our O-line for another decade, and then we'll get on with our lives. They didn't do that. You know, the Micah Parsons thing at the time, guys, there were questions about Micah Parsons. That's why he fell to 11. Now, in hindsight, yes, you would have redrafted Micah Parsons. But getting back to Pitts, you know, at some point, there's got to be some accountability with him. You know, that's why, I mean, look, 1 year there was an injury. Okay, injuries happen. But then the following year, he was not 100%. And then you throw in Arthur Smith's usage. You're asking a guy to block who's never going to be an elite tight end blocker. He just, Carl, he doesn't block well. And can we all agree to that? He said that's never been a strong suit. So, you know, that's where, one thing I will defend Kyle Pitts. Just utilize him as a wide receiver. Get him in a place to make plays. And then Zach Robinson on the field this year, if just to defend Kyle Pitts for a minute as opposed to killing him, which I usually do, you've got Drake London kind of occupying the space that maybe Kyle Pitts should be occupying, the way the Rams offense has worked, the way we use it. Just to play devil's advocate.
Okay. Look, I don't have an issue with that. I also think that if you're going to go 10 times harder, you don't care who throws you the ball. And sometimes you got to put your foot down, Mike, and say, look, y'all need to get me the ball.
Right.
I don't know if that's in Kyle Pitts. But I will say this. For a guy that had Gardner Minshew and Aiden O'Connell throw him the ball this year, Brock Bowers, Georgia's own, had 112 balls for 1,194 yards. How? Aiden O'Connell and Gardner Minshew. I don't want to hear about the quarterbacks.
Right.
I don't want to hear about the offensive system. You guys name who was calling the plays with the Raiders. I don't want to hear about the offensive line. It's not good with the Raiders. They just fired another coach, Mike, because of it.
Right.
I don't want to hear any of that when it comes to Kyle Pitts. Why is a guy like this in his rookie season performing at this level? You know why? Because he went 10 times harder in his rookie season. Every ball that was thrown to him, it meant more. I'm going to go make a play on the ball. I'm going to go make a touchdown. I'm getting yak after the catch. That is why we talk about Brock Bowers in the way that we do. Did anybody hear him complain this season about who was throwing him the football?
Nope. And that goes back to a great, one of my favorite Falcons, a great Atlanta Falcon, a guy that had 1,200 yards receiving. This is a dude that had 11. Go back and look at it. He had 6 touchdowns in 2007. This is Roddy White. Who was throwing to Roddy White that year? You want to joke? You want to laugh? Joey Harrington, Chris Redmond, and Byron Leftwich. That's just work ethic. That's just, and you know, Roddy White, you know, every Falcon fan knows how tough he is. And you heard Rodney Harrison on Sunday Night Football go, a guy that big can't play that soft, talking about Kyle Pitts. We've seen glimpses, the 2-touchdown game in Tampa. And then we saw him making that's the kind of catch and throw from our quarterback, Michael Penix Jr., in that Washington Commanders
game.
That should have hopefully helped you win that game. Hopefully that builds and – guys, you know what a great conversation Carl and I could have in January? Wow, I guess we're going to have to franchise tag Kyle Pitts because he went for 1,000 yards and he had like 10 touchdowns. And let's hope we're having that conversation because we've interviewed him a few times. It's not like he sits there like he's some aloof jerk. You know, he's a good dude. He's a family man. You've met him if you've been to Falcon events. But he's got to produce on the field because a 4th overall pick has got to be a superstar.
This hour is brought to you by Firehouse Subs. Enjoy more subs. Save more lives. We're coming back. I don't like it. Not one bit. Find out what we're talking about next.
Get some, you know, I mean, if you can't drink a Hey Man or a New Realm, grab yourself a Guinness. By the way, Carl.
Guinness is good.
Refreshing. Not as many calories. I mean, as many calories as a light beer in some cases. So go get one.
Yeah, Guinness is good, especially on St. Paddy's Day. But I'll say this, as things change, and they're changing around college football. But today we found out, and Connor Riley confirmed, that the spring game this year is not going to be on TV. And I'm talking about Georgia's G-Day game. And I don't like it. And this is not me on a personal level saying that they're doing the wrong thing, but I just think for a lot of dog fans who have already responded to us and said, what do you mean? I was looking forward to watching it. I watch it every year. If I can't make the game, I get a chance to see it. At least it's on, Mike. And usually, for traditions, right, it's been on SEC Network.
Right.
But we found out today that it's not going to be, and, you know, they're trying to, I guess, get a more intimate experience for those who are going to show up at spring game in Athens.
What does that even mean?
I don't know.
As opposed to having like 5 cameras around?
Well, here's the thing, Mike. Again, you got dog fans all over the Southeast, right?
Yeah,
and really all over the country.
And some guys can't make it to Athens.
So then why are you excluding access to something that you're not going to show anything to any of your opponents for the upcoming year? You're just doing what you do. And it's not like you can't turn on the film and see what Georgia does. You still got to stop it. So I don't like this idea that you're going to limit access to fans who really care about watching the spring game. What's up? Oh, what you got for us? Okay, this is Connor Riley earlier in the show, but I just, the more I sat here and thought about it, I'm like, why are you limiting the access to fans that really care about your program and want to see, Kirby, what's going on with it? If you just want to come out and say, you know what, we're doing away with it, which is what Mike has said, then just do away with the game. Don't tease us.
Well, it's a passive-aggressive way. Kirby doesn't want to be the bad guy and say he's taking away the cookies from the kids. But I'm telling you, I think Josh Brooks likes the fact you get 55 on average, 54,000 last year, 55,000 year before. 93K days, we know, was a moment in time. But still, Georgia Tech, see if your program's on the way up. Brent Key wants to get more eyeballs in front of his product. He's going to have his spring game. But in Georgia now, Kirby wants to just have another practice. You know, this goes back to that whole, before we hear from Connor, that Nebraska situation. They had a bunch of guys that were showcased who then left, got more NIL money in that final transfer portal. By the way, the NCAA needs to take away the transfer portal window, too, after the spring football. Yes or no? Is yes. that something? Just have one yes. one transfer portal, yes. that's it?
It's too much.
But either way, Kirby, not that he would ever admit it, what are you afraid? Guys can look at a roster. They can see who's on your depth chart.
That's right.
They can figure out what happened. See, to me, you know, if you feel, and if a kid feels he's getting marginalized or he's not number one or two, he's going to leave anyway. Hmm. Regardless if you put the game on television or have a game for the fans to watch at Sanford Stadium.
Let's hear Connor Riley talk about this. And if you're just tuning in, this is, again, this is why I don't like it. Now, some of you may not care. It's a spring game, whoop-de-doo. But I'm telling you, there are a lot of dog fans who do. Here's Connor.
Well, I think Kirby wants to keep Georgia's options open in that regard. He cited last year about how Kentucky had to end up canceling their spring game. And, you know, look, on the one hand, this does make the in-person experience that Georgia is still planning to do for G-Day on April 12th, I think, more of an event. It encourages more people to show up. I think there would be potentially a little bit more juice on G-Day for just people to see something in the stadium to have a better in Athens product. But at the same point in time, you know, I know not everyone wants to make it to G-Day, and not everyone wants to come to Athens. And so that this isn't going to be televised, you know, there's a part of this that you wonder, okay, maybe Kirby doesn't want people seeing what Georgia has with seeing Georgia is out there doing. And there's another part where, you know, maybe they want to make G-Day more special to the city of Athens and to the people that are coming to Sanford Stadium and make that a bigger event in that regard.
Okay. I mean, you know, if you want to go have a nice day out there in Athens and get a hotel room for the night, or you just want to just tailgate with your friends and have some fun, I mean, you're going to go do it. Here's the thing. I would like in years past, like to go to the spring practice and then be able to watch it on DVR
right.
to see what I didn't see. Yes. You know what I mean?
Yes, I agree.
Best of both worlds, hypothetically. But I mean, to me, look, you know it. You've heard Kirby kind of subtly throwing it out there. It just seems like this thing's going to die. At least in Athens, the way it's dying in other major programs around the country.
And again, if you want to do that, fine. I'm just not a fan of it. I think, you know, again, these games do serve a purpose to get your fan base excited and the alums excited. But more than anything, I just think, again, if you're just going to take it off TV, what's the purpose? Because that's where most dog fans, not everybody always makes these games. Not everybody. And this is a free game. This is not, you're not paying hundreds of dollars. Not everybody can make it. 404-726-0929. You guys text us and let us know what you think. And again, if you don't think it's a big deal, so be it. I just feel like you're teasing us with, well, you can come to the stadium, but that's the only way to get access to this game. And if you want to see our kids, well, okay, thanks for getting me all excited
right.
about the guys that you're bringing in and these big wide receivers and all the playmakers. And you know, I can't even see him at the spring game?
Well, I mean, with NCAA rules, what, does he get two more days of practice if he doesn't do the spring game?
I believe so.
So is that basically it, Chris? Is that how the thing works out? Either way, Kirby's expressed it. I think Josh Brooks will acquiesce to what his head coach wants to do because he's obviously got a two-time back-to-back natty program trying to get back there. We did, for a guy, hit us up, because what do you mean about Nebraska? The story came out last year that apparently Matt Rhule got his panties in a twist because they lost five players that were projected starters from the Cornhuskers who apparently, now again, as I said, because there was access to the game? Because somebody could read a score sheet?
Sure.
You know, and see, but either way, if you've got players in this case, especially in NIL, if you've got a strong roster, you may have to deal with a counter. Somebody may come after your guys. You may have to raise a little more loot to keep that guy there. But in the case of Nebraska, that's why they pulled it away. USC, Ohio, I mean, all these big programs now are taking away spring football. Now, before I moved to the Southeast and before I went to Florida State, you know, spring football was a joke. Who gives a crap about make-believe football? But then as you just laid out for a lot of fans, it's if you're excited about your program, you know who these players are, you want to see how does Gunnar Stockton look with these new wide receivers from the transfer portal? How does your new offensive line look? All these things are something that makes you a fan. It's not nerdy. It's just part of being the fan and wanting to see what you got.
Kirby's going to speak after practice tomorrow about, I'm sure he'll be asked about this, and we'll hear his reaction. Mike, in the South, though, spring football has always been
it's
a big
huge.
Deal. It's always been a big deal. And it is always given fans access to the team in the offseason where they normally didn't have a chance to see them in any situation because practices were closed and all of that stuff. So this is your only chance, and fans get excited about it. And this will get you amped up to get you enough to lead you to the fall to be like, hey, I saw that kid, man. He's going to be something else. Whether he actually is or isn't, it doesn't matter. It's the whole purpose of it. We'll see what Kirby says tomorrow after practice. Hey, by the way, John Fricke, full show tonight. Is that right, Fricke?
I never ask you. They were the first one to be victim to this, Carl. That's why spring football, it's got to go away. We've got to kill spring football.
Well, let me ask you this. Sorry, John. What's Nebraska care. Won in the last 20 years?
Diddley.
Nothing. I mean, who cares if Nebraska does away with their spring game?
Matt Rhule also said that Dylan Raiola's fat. He's got to get in shape. John will be listening right now. He'll be addressing that after 7.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, I'm like, who cares?
No, I mean, I just, to me, the point, I guess I'm not making it clear enough for some of our audience.
And why is my voice up here?
I don't know. You're doing Jerry Seinfeld.
I'm up here.
Whatever happened to spring football? But no, I mean, it's just to me, you guys, all these coaches know who the elites are. All the elite schools recruited all these guys, and all of a sudden a guy who now maybe slides to third on the depth chart, he's probably leaving anyway.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't know. I mean, if it's somebody that you feel is vital to your school, then you pass the hat and you get a more NIL. I get that college football is completely wrecked and warped from what we're used to.
It's wrecked and warped.
It's wacky. And it's gone. Let me just talk about it. The fact that, you know, no, I'm not trying to knock Auburn guys. Just, I support Bruce Pearl's hustle, whatever. You know, but I mean, that used car salesman got a team with the average age is older than an NBA team.
Yeah.
Which is bananas, but that's the world we're living in.
All right, guys, we got to get out of the way for John Fricke. By the way, Mike, tomorrow we got to mention this.
Hey, man, we're going to be in Tennessee. It's Hey Man time
in Tennessee.
We are just before we're 24-75 split. We are going to be in Chattanooga, just south of Chattanooga, at the Twin Peaks. So come by and see us. There's a big Bass Pro Shops, and we'll give you the address tomorrow on Twitter. But if you guys live in the northern environs of our audience, that's where we're going to be, buddy. We're going to be at Twin Peaks. East Ridge, Tennessee.
All right. We're looking forward to it, man. I'm looking forward to New Realm. It's
so
a big
if
party.
You live in Ball Ground, get off your ass and drive an hour up there to see us.
I'm looking forward to to enjoying some New Realm up there. They are now available in Tennessee, which is why we're making the trek and being up there. But it's a big party, man, because New Realm is going to be available now in Tennessee. So we're celebrating at Twin Peaks, and you will be able to order it there.
You Chickamaugans, we expect you to be up there, man.
Hey, all right. Let's get out of the way and clear our throats. Hey, if you missed any of our guests today, they're online, odyssey.com. Check them out. C.L. Brown talking about the tournament. We also talked to Josh Pastner as well. Good stuff from those guys. Good intel, good info as we get ready for the NCAA tournament. And by the way, 92.9 The Game is your home for the NCAA tournament. We'll have the play-in game starting tomorrow and Wednesday. First four is actually what it's called. And then the tournament, actually on Thursday, coverage beginning at 7 when we get done on Thursday and Friday. And we mentioned we'll be out Thursday, Friday, and all week next week as well. So we'll keep you updated. All right, Big O, great job behind the glass. As always, Turtle, executive producing tomorrow. We will talk to you from Twin Peaks in Chattanooga. And again, it's right there on the state line, as Mike mentioned. So if you're looking to come out there or you're up in the area, please stop by. We'll be there from 2 until about 6:30 tomorrow. All right, Mike Bell, let's get out of the way, man. Clear your throat.
Hey, man, any parent out there who's got a young driver, how paranoid and worried you get when those kids get behind the wheel with either their learner's permit or they first get their driver's license. Well, basically, Carl, the same thing goes if you are a multi-million dollar Formula One team and you've got young rookies driving for the first time, sometimes in the rain in Australia. Rookie, wreck, another one, wreck, another one. These guys are dropping like flies down in Australia. McLaren won the race, but it was kind of neat because you have guys, Carl, they look like boy bands, but even younger. Babyface kids wrecking million-dollar cars. They'll learn.
Hey, I didn't think they'd do it, but they did it. Cincinnati not only paid their quarterback $50 million, he's deserving, but they paid their two wideouts, and now all of a sudden they are locked in. T. Higgins and Ja'Marr Chase, Mike, they get the deals they've been wanting, and all of a sudden now Cincinnati's not cheap anymore. But is this the right way to go? Is this going to win a Super Bowl for the Cincinnati Bengals? Joe Burrow got what he want. His boys got paid. They got their bag. But if they don't win, it ain't going to matter. Hey, if you love the show,
you tell your friends.
If you don't,
you're an NFL general manager who doesn't understand defense.